Here we go. So sometimes you got to look over your shoulder. First John chapter 2. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Have you ever woken up in the morning and you just got something that you just can't get away from? Maybe a song, maybe a thought. But there's something that just keeps pressing and pressing and pressing. And you just can't get away from it. Like Jane wrestling with God in the middle of the night. And you have to say to yourself, you know, God, really, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to say? How do you want me to move forward? And I woke up with this song in my heart and this thought on my lips. The King is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Make straight his paths. And as you look at the world around you, and it is a crazy world that we're living in, is it not? As we look at the world around us, well, in the new year, we'll be looking at some of the end time stuff. But as you think of the world around you and all of the technology and all of the unrest and all of the move, even now in Glasgow, as they begin to lay out the plan for the future, the King is coming. And are we ready? Are we ready as a church? Are we ready as God's people to listen to that sound of the trumpet that will call us to himself? As Duncan Campbell sat on the platform waiting his turn to bring the message, Duncan Campbell was an evangelist in England. As he sat on that platform waiting to his turn to speak, he heard very clearly the word of God to him. Leave for the Hebride Islands. The Hebride Islands is just off Scotland. And he's saying, God, you know, Lord, I got to speak next. I can't leave now. But he heard clearly again the word come back to him. You must leave now, for they are waiting for you. And as he leaned over to the host, he said, I got to go. And so he caught the next ship over to the Hebride Islands. And as he pulled up to the dock, there were two elderly sisters in their later in their 80s. And they said, you know, we have been praying for you. And we have been waiting for you to come. Now these two ladies, Peggy and Christine Smith, as well as a local postmaster, had been concerned about the spiritual state of the church on the Hebride Islands. Very few attended the church in that day. The youth spent their Saturday nights drinking and dancing, and so when it came to Sunday morning, they were just too tired to get up and go to church. And the moral decline of that community was very obvious, not just to these people, but also to many others around them. So every night, between 10 and 3, between 10 and 4, these two elderly women in their 80s prayed to God for revival. That God's Spirit would descend on the Hebride Islands, and then they said, God, please send us Duncan Campbell. And so Duncan Campbell came to the Hebride Islands, and these two sisters met him at the dock. And they said, you know, we have been waiting for you. And so the first meeting that they had, nothing happened. But did I hear God right? Did we hear God right when we invited you here? Did I hear God right by coming? And nothing happened. And yet the deacon said to him, don't be discouraged. It's coming. He said, I already hear the rumbling of heaven's chariot's wheels. We will have another night of prayer, and we will see what God is going to do. And so 30 people gathered that night to pray into the wee hours of the morning. And at 3 o'clock that morning, God swept in. And as they left that cottage later that morning, they experienced something that they could have never imagined. People were lined up on the streets, on their knees, begging God for mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. There was a butcher's truck. And in that back of the butcher's truck, there were young men who were on their knees saying, God, have mercy on us. And a local minister said, when he was at the police station, he said, I saw a sight I never thought possible. Men and women were kneeling everywhere by the roadside, outside the cottages, calling to God to have mercy upon them. For God came, and revival broke forth on the Hebride Islands, and many came to personal faith in Jesus Christ. What happens when God shows up? When the Shekinah glory, the word used in the Old Testament, Shekinah literally means the weight of God. When the weight of God comes upon the community, the weight of His presence descends, not just on a church, but on a community. What happens when God shows up? Lives are changed. And not just lives, but churches are changed. All of the churches benefited from that revival in the Hebride Islands. When the river rises, all of the boats rise with it. When churches experience revival, they all experience the blessing of God. And the community was impacted as it had never been impacted before. It happened on this island. David Allen came from Thunder Bay, a lumberjack turned preacher. And as he came and he spoke in Hilton Beach through the ministry of the Free Methodist Church at that time, lives were changed. And that community was shaken like it had not been shaken before. It happened over here at the tabernacle in the campground. And some of the people who have gathered here week after week and have been part of the leadership of this church experienced Christ and gave their lives to Jesus. And the impact has been felt. It happened in the church across the road. It happened in the church here. When God shows up, things change. For God can do in a split of a second more than I could ever do in a lifetime. In the presence of God, things change. You know, Jesus reminded Nicodemus. Nicodemus was this religious leader, one of the heads of the religious movement in Israel. And Nicodemus says, how can somebody be born again? And Jesus says to him, you don't know where the wind's blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But when the wind of the Spirit is blowing, people's lives are changed. They are born from above. They are begotten by the Spirit. In ways that you could never imagine. Because the truth is that being born again is an act, a divine act of the Holy Spirit when God moves on the hearts of men and women, changing them from into the image of Jesus. The King is coming. And God is taking the wells that have been plugged up for years. And He's digging them out like He did with Jacob. That the waters of His presence might flow in ways that we have not experienced for a long time. am so grateful for the well that's out here, as it feeds not only the church but the house. But how many remember the well that was at the base of the hill? That was served by groundwater. It fed the house and it fed the church. Well, you know, when that groundwater dropped down, it didn't feed the house nor the church. And so somebody had to go down and dig out that well. And me, in one of my bravado moments, I wish somebody would slap me across the back of the head when I have these moments. I said, I'll go down. And so the ladder was put down, and I crawled down this ladder about 12, 15 feet down. And lo and behold, God bless Randy, he took the ladder back out. And I'm looking up at this hole. And I had to grab myself by the nape of the neck and say, I shall not fear, for the Lord is with me. And we dug that out. But you know, one of the things with a piston pump that was between the well and the house, sometimes it would lose its prime. And somebody had to go down and put water in there when it lost its prime. Now, when you get into that little shack, I don't know if you've ever been in there, but you know, if you want the experience, if it's still there, there were these big black spiders. Two things I don't like: snakes and spiders. And so I would go in there with my can of Raid, do what I need to do, prime the pump so that the water then flowed once more and fed the house and the church. Well, there was this well in India. They wanted the water to flow from it as well. But somebody had taken bicycle parts and garbage and dirt and whatever else. They had put it down there and they had blocked off the well to keep it from flowing. And somebody needed to go down there because water is a life sustenance of mankind, is it not? And so somebody volunteered. I don't know if he was brave enough or... But as he began to go down there, also within that well was cobras. Now, if you've ever seen a poisonous snake, I mean a really poisonous snake. When I was in Mozambique, I saw them kill a viper. And the guy was hitting it with that, and he jumped back, and he hit it back, and jumped back. There were cobras in this. I ain't going down there. There's no way I'm cleaning out that one. This one's fine. There's no way I'm going down there. But somebody went down there. And they began to clean out that well so that the water again might flow into that community and others might be nourished by it. You know, Jesus in John 7, 37 to 9, he says, out of you shall flow rivers, not just sprinkled, but rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit, that he might flow out of us. That he might touch not only the church, he might touch the community that we live in. Sometimes we got to dig out those things that keep that water from flowing through our lives. Sometimes there are sin issues that need to be dealt with. We deal with those sin issues simply through, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we got to deal with it at that level. Sometimes we got to deal with our own disappointments and our own discouragements. You know what the word discouragement literally means? Men need to have the experience of taking a sponge that's wet and squeezing that sponge until the water is out. That's what discouragement means. It means taking the life out of your life. The word encouragement is what? The river flowing. The river flowing back into your life. Sometimes despair is one of those things that keep people from experiencing the flow of God. Sometimes it's unbelief. I don't believe. I just do not believe that God would use me or that God would use this church or that God would use this community to bring forth his word to touch the world. But you know the one that I have dealt with the hardest or the longest with people? is cynicism. Cynicism is like a cancer to the soul. It's like a canker. Where people have been so hurt and so beat up by life that they become very cynical about situations that they face. And God wants to root that back out by the flow of His Spirit, by the moving of His presence, that we might again believe, as God has done on in the Hebride Islands, as God has done in Hilton Beach, as God has done in the campground, as God has done through this church, that the river of God would flow once more, and that this community would be transformed by the power of the living God as He moves among us and brings glory to the name of Jesus. Have you ever said to God, I ain't going there. I ain't going to do that. You ever said that? There's no way in a million years. That Neil Robb said that. I'll never go to Sudbury. Neil Robb ended up in Sudbury. I've said to God, I'm never going to go to Baffin Island. I don't like the cold. I don't like snow. I don't like ice. It's going to snow and have ice this coming week. I said to God, no, I'm not going to go. And then I read something. And I say, oh God, I want to be there. I want to be there. Because as this group of people were meeting in an Anglican church, and as they were worshiping God, they heard what sounded like a train coming closer and closer. But the fact is, there was no tracks near the church. And yet the sound kept getting louder and louder and louder. Until all of a sudden, like on the Hebride Islands, all of a sudden the presence of God came into that church and it overwhelmed those who were worshiping God. And it spread out from there and it transformed the communities around them. And they had this bonfire like you read in the book of in Ephesus. They had this bonfire where people brought their drugs and they brought their paraphernalia, they brought their witchcraft books, they brought their alcohol, they brought all of these things, and they had this massive bonfire. Why? Because God came and lives were changed forever. The King is coming. The King is coming. And He's coming for you and He's coming for me and all those who anticipate His return. Are you expecting to see the Lord Jesus? Are you living in that expectancy that this could be the day when the sound of the trumpet comes and Christ breaks forth to take His people? That promise is for you. That promise is for me. Make ready your hearts. Prepare His way. You know, and as we anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus, and we're going to break some of this down in the new year, as you anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus, we have two mandates to church. One is to win as many as we can to Jesus Christ. And the second is to spread scriptural holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We long for His presence. You know, as we approach communion, communion is more than just remembering what Jesus did for us back then. Communion is also us recommitting our lives to His Lordship, saying, Lord Jesus, as with Martin Luther, here I stand. I can do no other. There's a chorus I like. I won't sing it for you because I want to massacre it. But it goes like this. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And as we approach communion this morning, may that be your prayer, and may that be your firm conviction. I pledge allegiance to you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.